Hello, hello. Welcome to Pod Bless Texas. I'm Lillian Salerno here with my co-host, Kendall Scudder. What have you been up to this week, Kendall?
You know, I haven't been up to a whole lot of much this week, Will. I've just been trying to pay bills and, you know, go to, like, the Bit Hot, Blue in the Heart of Texas. I went to that this week.
I did not. Tell me.
Why didn't you go?
I was moving my stuff to my lake house.
Oh, your bougie lake house.
Yeah, bougie.
How many houses do you have, Lillian?
I try to have at least 3 to 4 at any given time in case I decide to run for Congress again. I'll have one in every single district so I can make my decision then.
Lillian's really been hit by the economic recession and the shutdown. She had to scale back to only 4 houses.
You're so full of shit. No.
You're just so relatable.
I know. Also with us today, we're so excited because back by popular demand on our third mic is our friend and really has created her own following with Pod Bless Texas, Miss Laura Berry.
Hey, thank you. I'm really excited to be back. And I just learned that Lillian is basically living my dream life.
Oh, yeah. So they say.
You could probably squat in one of her houses. And she
wouldn't know.
No, no. She's just going to, she only hangs out at the lake house. So you could be at one of her other mansions.
My lake house, 1971, manufactured home.
Wait, if these other houses are mobile homes, I'm out. She
drove her lake house to the lake. She turned it into a lake house this week. It was just a pasture house last week.
Yeah, that's what you can buy a
just
lot of houses.
Just park your RV in whatever district you want to run in.
Yeah, just, you know, hire a consultant right after you land and then just say, I'm going to run here.
Residency's a state of mind.
It really is.
You know, it kind of blew my mind how many people liked Laura after our first episode, because frankly, I spend a lot of time with her. Don't like her that much.
They loved her. My son, who's at a school in the middle of the Midwest, his entire fraternity is listening to Laura Berry.
I heard about this. I don't know how I feel about it.
Oh, we know how you feel about it.
I'm going to have to probably base it on what fraternity this is. You don't have to say. Just get with me after, and I'll let you know if I'm interested.
Yeah, there's probably some mom's a fraternity thing in my closet, because I literally couldn't tell you what fraternity is.
Last time I saw Lil's son, he was wearing a shirt that said, like, Parents Weekend, and it was this weekend, and Lil was like, I didn't know you had a Parents Weekend.
It's pretty bad.
But I don't think I invited my parents to Parents Weekend.
He did not invite me.
I didn't either.
He tried to say I was running for office and he didn't want to bother me, but we know that was a lie. And on the program also today, we're so excited because our friend, a Renaissance man, who D Magazine refers to as a bully. He picks up rocks and steps on roaches for a living, which would have given him plenty to do if he had been successful in his congressional run in 2018. But most recently, from Wondery's Dr. Death podcast, Mr. Brett Shipp from Brett Shipp Media will be joining us. We're so excited to have him.
I love that Brett Shipp started his own applause right now. It was good. We could learn a thing or two from Brett Shipp.
Yeah, and have been. We are so excited.
Brett's the greatest.
And before we get to Brett Shipp, there's something we've got to do. Hit the headlines. From the Gilmer Mirror and the Texas Tribune, Dan Patrick sends a message to Kel Seliger and 30 other Texas senators. What do you think that message was, Kendall?
So basically what happened this week was Kel Seliger, who is notorious for fighting with the lieutenant governor. They're both Republicans. Kel Seliger is from Amarillo. He's a big pro-public education Republican, which is kind of hard to come by in the Texas Senate. And so Dan Patrick's not a fan of his because Seliger fights against things like vouchers and school choice. So he pulled him. We talked about this in the last episode. He pulled him from all education committees and put him as the chairman of a newly created agriculture committee.
A rural agriculture committee about rural and water, I think.
Well, they separated ag into two different committees. And so Nathan Johnson was on that water and ag one. But Kel Seliger was the chairman of just the straight agriculture committee. he obviously wasn't very happy to get pulled off of his education committee posts, and was on a radio show, and somebody was asking him about a statement that the lieutenant governor had released, where he was talking about, you know, if Kelselger doesn't like being on the agriculture committee, he can resign his post and we'll give it to somebody who wants it. And he essentially said that one of Dan Patrick's staffers can have their lips meet his behind,
which would be kiss your ass.
Yes. but you would have thought he said something so much worse.
I know the way they and then okay.
So then Dan Patrick rips him off of his committee, says that it was a female staffer and that it was sexual in nature, which it clearly was not.
All of a sudden they're concerned about that.
Suddenly, right, exactly. I mean, they let dick pic Charles Schwertner keep a vice chairship, who's sending unsolicited dick pics to college kids. Kelselger tells somebody to kiss his ass, and suddenly he's getting revoked of his.
The best part of that is also that Dan Patrick also statement was they sat around and prayed about it and then decided to kick him off the committee. I love it when they pray in the Capitol. Our forefathers would be so proud.
I just can't get over this. Made me so angry. And the way this all kind of broke and started was whenever they were all meeting to pray about it, Kelselger tried to get into the room because he thought they were having a meeting, and Dan Patrick blocked him and wouldn't let him come into the room, and then had to go have a meeting with him. And Kelselger stood up to the guy, and I would take one Kelselger spine over these wimpy ass Democrats in the Senate any goddamn day, because every one of them sat on their hands during the 2018 election. They didn't stand up for Mike Collier whenever he was running for lieutenant governor, ended up losing by less than 5 points. None of them are jumping to defend Kelselger, which the Senate can actually override the lieutenant governor on these
things. Absolutely.
Not saying it's possible. I know we don't have the votes there, but stand up for something. Why are you there? These senators have just gotten to a point where all they do is bob their head up and down on Dan Patrick's lap so that they can get their committee appointments, and they're not actually getting anything accomplished, and it drives me nuts.
I know. We've heard that. Well, again, but we start and we end with the fact that Texas Democrats were wimps. A lot of the folks sitting there that didn't contribute to Mike Collier when he ran, we could have been controlling this place. We only lost by, 5 points?
And I guarantee you that Kelselger would still have his chairmanship under Mike Collier, because Mike Collier isn't a partisan hack. He's the kind of guy you want to be your lieutenant governor. But you couldn't count on any of those Senate Democrats to stand up. I would give an exception to Jose Rodriguez, who really does the best that I'm a fan. I'm a fan of Jose Rodriguez. And then the new folks, I'm going to give them a pass too, Bev and Nathan. But the rest of them, liberal lion Kirk Watson, like where the hell are you in all of this? Why are you people not standing up to protect your colleagues that are standing up against the worst lieutenant governor in Texas history?
Absolutely. All right. Second highlight from the Texas Tribune, Texas House Speaker Dennis Bonin names committee chairs.
Yeah, this was, it kind of ended with a bit of a, like nothing really exciting happened from it, but we did see that Democrats made some gains, and by the appointments that the speaker made, it was very clear that he's ready to get work done and work across the aisle, I thought.
Because of him putting Joe Moody as the chair.
As the deputy speaker. I mean,
that would have been great if he gave him the chair.
Right. If Joe Strauss had made a Democrat his deputy speaker, I mean, the earth would have shaken. It would have been wild. But, you know, this new speaker comes in, he cashes in his clout to do that and work across the aisle. I respect that. I appreciate
it. Too.
And so Joe Moody of El Paso, who is a very young guy, but he's the most senior member of the El Paso delegation because he was elected so young. When he was elected to the legislature, he was the youngest member.
It's like 23 or something.
Yeah, right? He was a kid. And so he's now the deputy speaker, which is exciting. And then we got some good pickups. Chris Turner is the chairman of the higher ed committee, which is great. John Zerwas held onto his committee. The only real, we saw a couple of shakeups where they removed some sitting Republicans. Drew Darby lost his chairmanship.
And the guy you ran against, Bob Hall, where did he end up again?
Well, that's the Senate, like, not the House.
I know, but I always have to bring him up.
Well, okay. Well, that's the Senate, not the House. But he did end up replacing Kelselger as the chairman of the Agriculture Committee.
Just want to make sure we hit that one.
But yeah, I mean, I think that this shows that Dennis Bonin's ready to get some work done. We've got a lot to do on public ed this session, and property taxes. And if you end up having a good surge in Democrats that are chairing stuff, we're going to be working with you, and we can work across the aisle and kind of negate some of these Freedom Caucus wackos.
Great. People are hopeful. I'm not. I don't have any confidence that they're going to get anything done, but I'm always want to listen to people because that's what we do. But I have no confidence. I have no confidence in this speaker, nor do I have this confidence that they're going to do it. I mean, elections should matter. They should know that people care about reforming public education. But at the end of the day,
I think they did. I mean, look at the folks that are getting appointed to the public ed committee. There's
I'm glad of your optimism. I'm thrilled.
I am optimistic that something good's going to happen with public ed this cycle. I don't think it's going to fix it, but I think it'll be helpful. If what I thought was really great is if you look at the public ed committee, a freshman ended up on the public ed committee. Keith Bell of Forney, Texas. It never happens, but he's like a 20-year school board member from Forney, and they put him on the public ed committee, which is shocking because the way they picked them, it would take years for someone to go. Sure. So I think you've got some good like school-minded public ed-minded folks. I'm not on the same page with all of them because, you know, you can be a pro-public education Democrat, a pro-public education Republican, and just kind of disagree on some details. But I think with our values of who we are, people that genuinely support public schools existing, it's a good committee.
All right. Let's hope for the best. Unfortunately, our next headline is we can't not talk about this, but from the Houston Chronicle, after 35 days of a government shutdown, the president finally relents. What do you think about that one, Laura?
Well, I work for an airline, so I am very pleased to see that basically a bunch of air traffic controllers put an end to the government shutdown.
Been a rough 35 days, huh?
There's been some long days in there.
I bet.
But really, that just shows the strength of our unions. If it was not for all of these flight attendant unions and pilot unions coming out and saying,
a plane's going to drop out of the sky, you better open up the government.
Yeah, I don't think any of them said that.
Actually, the National Controllers Union said something along that, unfortunately.
I mean, it was strongly implied.
Well, I went to a family event yesterday, and my sister, who's a public school education, she whispered to me, he opened the government because of the Super Bowl.
Why do you think that?
Because a bunch of people are going to fly for it.
Oh.
And private people that own private jets that go to Super Bowls want to.
That never occurred to me.
So I think she's probably right.
That's awful. Well, I mean, here's something to talk about, though. I mean, we walk away from a 35-day government shutdown, the longest one in American history, and all Donald Trump got was, I guess, good feelings from throwing a tantrum, because, I mean, he got nothing out of it.
Nothing.
What a waste.
Oh, so much damage.
He's as wimpy as the Texas Senate Dems.
Oh, there we go. All right, next headline, also from the Texas Tribune. National Democrats target 5 Texas Republican congressional seats as 2020 cycle begins.
I threw this one in for you, Lil, because I knew that you wanted to talk about federal stuff.
Oh, yeah. I really Well, all I know is it's about time we started taking back some of these seats, and these guys are vulnerable. They were vulnerable last time, and when we talk with Brett Shipp, we'll talk about how all of us realize we should have run in more districts last time.
Well, they're the 5 seats that the national party's talking about targeting right now is Michael McCaul, which was, I think, Beta 1 that congressional district. And then you have Chip Roy of Austin, Pete Olson of Sugarland, Kenny Marchant of Coppell, up where Julie Johnson kicked Matt Rinaldi's ass, and John Carter of Round Rock. So there's 5 seats now that were within 5 points that we think in a presidential year, because Democrats tend to surge in presidential years over midterms, we'll be able to pull over the top for those 5. And that would be
that
wild.
That would be awesome. We can hope. We need to start preparing for that.
Well, and what's really exciting about that to me is it tells me that instead of Texas being a cash cow where folks come here, they raise money, they take the money out of our state and pump it into campaigns around the country, Texas may end up seeing, you know, some real political investments in a lot of these districts. It's not going to do anything but help us in our infrastructure for working for these statewides.
Absolutely. And lastly, for our highlights, Texas top election official says about 58,000 non-citizens cast ballots in state elections since 1996. Big lie.
What does it mean?
It's so weird.
I know. They just do this.
Well, here's the... Explain what the thought process behind it is, because a lot of the headlines are not accurate as to what it actually means.
Every time the Republicans in Texas have a free moment, they come up with, hey, let's talk about voter fraud, because then people will discriminate against brown people even more than they already do. What can we do now? Well, let me get my friend from the Texas Secretary of State to start talking about it. So they talk about, they said there were over 95,000 people that voted between 1996 and 2016 that had some kind of a question of whether or not they were citizenship. So over 22 years, they were talking about. Well, Texas naturalizes 50,000 people a year. We're the biggest state for naturalization.
Right.
And so people voted, but they weren't then they became naturalized. But the Texas Secretary of State.
Wait, other way around. They became naturalized and voted.
But because now their records, they're trying to score them up, they're saying that these people were illegal when they voted, and that's not the case. And the people have done studies, and they say less than 3 people out of every 1 million voters are non-residents, non-American citizens. That's at the maximum. So even if everything, if you added all this up, it'd be less than 25 people that ever voted illegally in Texas since 1996. This is crazy. They just do this to get people. This is called suppression of voters. They've been doing it for years, and they're on their last stand because they know Texas is going to turn blue.
Yeah, they're just trying to rile people up. I mean, these are people who lawfully voted. Just you being naturalized and becoming an American citizen does not mean you don't have the right to vote. I mean, that's ridiculous. Once you're an American citizen, you have the full rights of an American citizen. You have the right to vote. And so essentially what they're saying is we have, 95,000 Texans who became American citizens and exercised their right to vote. I think that's something to applaud.
Absolutely.
And who was responsible for those voter files during the illegal voting? The Secretary of State has been a Republican.
Forever.
That entire period they were looking at.
Yes.
So if there's a problem with the voter files, they're responsible for the problem.
But they wonder why we have low Hispanic turnout in Texas.
Well, it's because the whole point of this kind of stuff. To see in Texas what you saw in Atlanta or in Georgia, a purge of voters. So. Yep.
It's like as soon as they lost their fight on the socialist wall, they suddenly want to find a new way to attack people in the state who aren't white folks.
And the media needs to do a really better job of once that headline's out there, what exactly it means. Yeah. Because people just read that. I mean, this idea that 95,000 people, it's sort of like this scare tactic. Oh, people are voting. It's not true.
They were
the headline you
headlines.
Read is the only one I've seen that had from 1994 or 1996. Whatever
right. The Texas Tribune did a very good job.
They're
even
the
on
only
their
headline
feed of what
that
happened.
Included what kind of date range that was in that number. Yeah. Everybody else just implied that in 2016.
Right. And you have to go, and even the New York Times did a piece, and they didn't get to that 22-year piece until like the third paragraph.
I'm not one of those guys that beat up on the media all the time.
Why not?
But as a result, I think the media has an obligation to our community to make sure that when they're pumping these headlines across, they aren't ridiculous headlines that are misleading. I mean, clickbait is not the way to run a newspaper. maybe it's the way to run some like low budget blog that you've got. But if you're in the Dallas Morning News or the Austin American Statesman or the Houston Chronicle, you do not need to be running clickbait headlines. That you need to be real with people. And Texas Tribune, to their credit, have been doing a very good job,
awesome
especially
job.
On their Twitter feed, clarifying that this is absolutely not, you know, what this is absolutely not a bunch of illegal voters in the last election. Like they clarify well, and I appreciate that. I've seen a lot of integrity coming out of the Texas Tribune lately, and I like it.
Me too.
Well, and there's never been a more important time than to have truth in your headlines and not have these misleading stories. Because
absolutely.
Nothing makes me angrier than when I have to defend or explain something that somebody who watches Fox News is like, hey, that you posted that, it's fake news, and I have to explain why it's not. Or I have to say, you know what? You're right. They did a shit job reporting this.
Absolutely.
And we had... The media is all we have right now against Donald Trump.
We have Nancy.
We have Donald Trump.
We have Saint
the media
Nancy.
And Nancy Pelosi.
If you would have told me.
Quite a few people weren't so into, huh?
I was not.
You were not.
If you would have told me a month ago that I'd be referring to her as Saint Nancy Pelosi, I would laugh at you. I mean, we talked about this with Harriet last week. I would have never supported Nancy Pelosi to be Speaker. I was wrong. I mean, yeah. She's doing a killer job.
She's doing amazing. Well, that was Hit the Headlines.
Okay, so last episode, I told everyone that we were going to put a poll up on the website and people were going to answer it. We were asked the question, where's Beto going? Because he got in his car and he went off on this ominous trip. Where's Beto going? And I told you that I'd read the results actually on this podcast. So here we go. You know, we didn't get a lot of others, unfortunately, so we're not going to get to go on as long as I would have liked to. So next poll, you people need to step it the fuck up. I mean, this is ridiculous. But
you need to have a better poll, but go ahead.
This is a great poll, Lillian. The best poll. People Let's are saying All that right. they...
Okay. You're just making this shit up. Go on.
So of those responding, 47% said that Beto was going to New York because of the shutdown. He's afraid to fly, and he has to drive to that Oprah interview.
All right.
26% said that he was going to Colorado because of recreational marijuana, and he has to get away. And then 26% said... others. Where's Beto going? He's looking for aliens in Roswell, New Mexico. Where's Beto going? The Loretta Lynn home place in Van Leer, Kentucky. Where's Beto going? Rural Iowa campaign, I'm assuming. Where is Beto going? Stay home, Beto. Wait to be vetted for VP. Where's Beto going? California. Bands and bikinis. So creepy people. Are responding to where Beto's going. But those were the others. And that's our poll results.
All right. And with that, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll be back with Texas's investigative reporter, our friend Brett Shipp, and also my man crush during my primary race, when we will be back with Mr. Shipp.
I can't exist in this room right now with this level of sexual tension. We'll be back.
Welcome back to Podless Texas. With us today at Podless Texas World Headquarters is investigative reporter turned public relations guru turned failed politician turned back to investigative reporter, our friend Brett Shipp.
Wait, What's up, Brett? Failed politician? Really?
Failed.
You went there? You of all people went there.
No, Kendall actually wrote that. I wouldn't have called you fail.
We know him when we see him. Oh. Takes one to know one.
And I'm the one who put your sign up in the Podless Texas
World. And it's
going to
find its way into every one of my media posts this next week when I build up Pod West Texas.
My picture.
Make sure that your picture is
I love the fact that I didn't realize till today that on your sign you said a tenacious investigative reporter who will shine a spotlight on Congress.
That's an understatement.
Why did you capitalize the word spotlight? Did you shout
it? I didn't have anything to
do
with that, sir.
Spotlight.
Just back off. Accusatory diatribe over here. This is not my marketing genius.
Doesn't the
although
Boston
it is really
Globe
good.
Have like a trademark on spotlight? Were you allowed to use that?
What are you, a lawyer?
Is this podcast about to get sued?
Don't get off on my bad foot.
How many people at the Globe do you think are listening to this?
Zero. Negative zero.
Negative zero is not a number.
I know. Okay.
Well, Brett, we're super excited to have you here.
So thank
you. Do you mind if I smoke?
Long time listener, first time caller.
First time caller. I do. I am like very dialed into your podcast, and I think it's very good, and it's the beginning of something huge.
Aww.
I really think so. You guys are very personable. You're very, you know, you're learning how to speak into the mic.
That's
the most important thing. And
probably what you're worst at.
No, they're learning. Laura, I am schooling them. Speak into the mic.
Yeah. We had this whole session whenever this whole podcast started where Brett Shipp was giving us the word for
you guys are doing it all wrong.
We are.
I'm the expert. Listen to me. I've been in the business for 35 years.
We're professional amateurs.
Yeah. You're doing a great job. I love this. It's great.
And you have so much more name recognition than either of us. We're pretty excited, really.
I mean, probably more than Lil. But
you're the one who made the runoff with Colin Allred, not me. You're more popular than I am.
Fairly and by BFD.
By maybe 12 votes, though, right? Y'all were really close in your.
I was in second place all night, and then like at midnight, it's just like Lillian makes this surge, and the whole time I'm thinking John Wiley Price is down at election headquarters. making his prediction come true. Because, you know, he said that I've got a snow Ice Cube's chance in hell of winning the, I guess he meant the primary. And he was right.
Well, I don't think he was helping me necessarily. Just a thought. But we were texting each other, and I was actually saying, go, Brett, go.
Because I was going, no.
Oh, my God, a runoff.
On election night, I didn't have a primary opponent, so I just kind of was floating between parties. And so I went to Lillian's party, and it looked like someone murdered her.
It was death.
I mean, like, she was so sad. I was looking at the numbers, and my numbers, I had Lillian second, and I guess they still had numbers where you were ahead of her, because she just looked so, I was like, Lil, you made the runoff. What are you so upset
That's
about?
That's what I was sad about.
Well, Colin was like 20 points ahead of all of us, and we're like, this isn't going to be a bloodbath. Yeah. I don't want any part of it. Right, go ahead,
like,
Lil.
Oh, it's my God. Yours. When I saw his number, I'm like, I hope I didn't make that son of a bitch run off, because that guy's going to kill it. And it's going to be a brutal 7 weeks. And guess what? Yeah, it was.
Brutal seven weeks. It's been a brutal 7 months ever since.
I took several vacations. It was great.
I know. He would send me pictures from his vacation.
That's so funny. Well, I have to say, I said it before we went to the break, and here we are again. The level of sexual tension between the two of you is
how do you talk
it, palpable? It's palpable.
It, you are so
well. It surpasses
crap.
The sexual tension between me and Lil,
which is zero. Wait, so
I was going to tell my new bride Peggy to listen to the podcast. Now she's not going to know.
He's like that girl that automatically starts talking to you about her boyfriend, even though you're not even hitting on her. It's like, well, my boyfriend says.
Lillian,
they
and
just
I,
do that to you. You know that, right? All right. Well, I want to ask Brett Shipp, what are you doing these days, Brett? You were
BrettShippMedia.com, BrettShippMedia.com, BrettShippMedia.com.
That's coming later.
Oh, okay.
Okay, but what kind
of... You can talk later about BrettShippMedia.com.
But I got to ask something, because I do think that... Stop you guys doing your boy stuff. Listen.
Since I'm not being paid, this is my...
I know, but what...
I think he's just hedging his bet on people not making it to the end of the podcast, right? Get it in now.
Ouch. I'm sorry. Yeah. Do you expect people to pay you to be a guest on their podcast?
What the heck?
What kind of podcast are you going on?
I've already got my ad in. We're even. Trust me. Okay. Politics.
But let me ask you something. Do you think the decline of people's trust in the media is because of the decline of people willing to invest in true investigative reporting? Because I do.
That's absolutely the truth. I mean, I had lunch 2 days ago, 3 days ago, with the managing editor of the Dallas Morning News.
Humble brag.
Yeah. And I flat out asked him, what's your business model moving forward? And he's had a hard time answering that. But his answer was generally, we're going to stick with print. Print is our moneymaker. He told me for the first time ever, their subscription payments outpace their ad payments. Wow. And that's never happened
I'm
before.
One of those new subscribers.
Thank you.
No
Thank
way.
You.
Never. Yeah. Never done with Morning News for me. Didn't they just lay off 45 people?
Yeah. That's...
Okay, name a newspaper that hasn't.
Not just people, reporters.
Yeah.
I mean, like the people that actually deliver the news, like their bread and butter.
Yeah.
Well, I used to deliver the Dallas Morning News when I was a kid, and I loved them then, hate them now.
Well, the immigration reporter is gone. Their environmental reporter is gone. Two or three of their arts reporters are gone. They laid off their Dallas Mavericks beat reporter. Eddie Sefko is gone. There's several mainline, you know, big name reporters who are gone now, and it's very it's disturbing, because it's, you know, the local newspaper is the bedrock of our local democracy, and if we don't have reporters on the streets covering beats and fact checking and being held accountable and holding government officials accountable, we're losing a big part of our democracy, and people, the line between fact and fiction is being blurred, and in that respect Trump is right. I mean, at what point do you lay off so many reporters that you become unable to vet the facts and be accurate? Whatever this crap was that BuzzFeed put out that Mueller immediately, you know, dismissed, that's a huge slap to mainstream media. Is BuzzFeed mainstream media? You guys tell me. I don't really...
I believe it is.
It is for millennials.
Well, they worked very hard to go from we post a bunch of lists with GIFs on it to we are a legitimate media source.
I still think they were right, by the way.
they do help me find out like what type of 90s cartoon character I am, and I do appreciate that about
But they also helped
there you go.
Really they bring the R. Kelly story
absolutely
to light.
No, like, I love
done
BuzzFeed.
Some very legitimate
can I just go back to the Dallas Morning News to tell you why I hate them? It's not just because they didn't endorse me for Congress.
And I'm going
to
defend them.
I know
ahead.
You are, but the reason I'm
they did endorse me for state senator. I just want to throw that
you were
in
the
there.
Only guy running, but anyway, go ahead. I mean, besides Paul,
that's huge.
They should have at least they had no fair editorial process for Brett and I's race, but that's not why I hate them. I hate them because they put out that piece after Kavanaugh and told us to like get a grip, and I'm like, are you a female saying get a grip when you had that Kavanaugh and didn't let us have a voice? Fuck you, Dallas Morning News.
I think the problem was that Brett Kavanaugh.
So they published one thing you disagree with, and now you don't support the Dallas
Pretty
Morning
News. Yeah, and Laura, that's a great point. Just because you don't like their editorial doesn't mean that you shouldn't follow their local reporting.
With
their local reporting is more important than their editorial voice.
Nope, I'm done.
So, Brett, I here's the thing. I'm a big fan of your work because I love when people pick up rocks and step on roaches. And you've worked on some really great cases, whether it's the Atmos energy debacle where houses were exploding. You worked on the Dr. Death project. What are your favorite projects you worked on? And what do you think is the biggest fish you've caught?
Well, anytime that I can change people's lives or help save lives by identifying societal ills or infrastructure failures, that is the most important thing that I've ever done in my career. And I think the work that I did on the Atmos, couplings back in late 2007, 2008 through 2011, when the last person I covered or did a story on dying, when that came to light and the Railroad Commission was forced to kind of go after Atmos Energy and make them change their infrastructure, that's the most important kind of story I do, but I have a whole history of holding government officials accountable. I have a whole history of not being political, of not caring whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, but are you right or are you wrong? And are you gaming the system? And I found Democrats and Republicans doing that. And that to me is the most important thing I do is hold people accountable, whether it's a governmental entity, whether it's a private person, whether it's a corporation, to hold people accountable. There are so few reporters out there doing this job. I go back to the morning news and what's happened and laying people off and the decline of subscriptions. People have to understand how important it is for reporters to be on the beat, to be on the streets, be covering City Hall, the county courts, to keep an eye on John Wiley Price. Nobody, I'm the only guy in this city who has taken on John Wiley Price. And why? Why? The guy was charged with so many crimes. And yeah, he got off, but I immediately turned around and caught him redoing the same thing that he was indicted and charged for. It's just that this, and I don't want to get off into one of my obsessions, but I will now, because it is such a crisis that we're losing reporters who are here to hold people accountable.
Yeah.
And so what is it? What could you tell? Like, we have quite a bit of our clientele or listeners are young people that are trying to make sense of the news, and there's a whole new news model for them. I mean, what is it that they, how do they know somebody's just lying to them?
I don't know, and that's a great question, and it's a dangerous situation when the President of the United States is busy castigating or casting doubt on the veracity of mainstream media and longtime institutions which have checks and balances and governance and editors and people who fact check. I mean, the Morning News, I'm working with them on an investigative project right now, and they are meticulous about fact checking. I'm telling you, they did a story on me when I ran for office, they did a story and called me up after I'd gone through a long interview and went back over my answers to fact check my answers. That's what credible news organizations do. And when we quit subscribing to them, and when we just start flipping young people through your phone and looking at feeds on YouTube or Facebook or whatever, if it's not a credible, credentialed media organization, please be suspicious, because not everybody is a journalist, not everybody is trained, and not everybody knows how to dig in and get the truth and the real. I mean, these headlines, we talked about it a minute ago, that have gone out about all of the, you know, uncertified voters who voted, you know, that's a BS headline. But how many credible news organizations just read that headline?
Yeah, you, like the Statesman. Laura, the Statesman put out 58,000 non-citizens may have illegally voted in Texas, officials say. If that's all you read, that's not okay. That's, I'm going to unsubscribe to them.
And the Statesman would be considered a liberal newspaper.
Yes.
Yeah. Why didn't they include anything?
Why
past
weren't they
that?
Doing their job?
Yeah. You know, and, oh, sorry. I just, you know, one thing that I really want to talk to you about while I want to make sure we get it in. I really love this Dr. Death podcast because I don't know why, but I can't stop listening to it until it ended. And now I just want more episodes. Can you talk to us a little bit about that project, the Dr. Death situation, what your role was in that, the doctor, the neurosurgeon in Dallas that was, you know, murdering folks and is sitting in jail right now.
But how long it took him to get him?
Dr. Dunch was he was a monster, and the one of the attorneys who had two or three Kay Van Way, who had two or three victims, came to me and said, this has got to get out there because there are doctors in this community who are quietly trying to put him out of business, but the Texas Medical Board, stop me if I go on too long about them, are not doing their job. They've had this complaint for months about Dr. Dunch, and they're not shutting him down. And this needs the light of day. So the day that Kay Van Way called me and told me about her clients, I got another email from somebody else totally unrelated, another victim saying, please do something about Dr. Dunch. When you get a phone call and emails on the same day about a guy killing people who's a certified physician who's still practicing, it makes your head explode. And I immediately started asking questions of the Texas Medical Board and saying, what are you guys doing about him? Then I found out about Dr. Kirby and Dr. Henderson, who had both filed complaints and were trying, exhaustively trying to shut this guy down. They couldn't do it. That story needed the light of day, and it needed thorough reporting. You got to be careful when it comes to a doctor. You know, you don't want to wrongly accuse a doctor and ruin their practice, because that's what I was about to do the second I put that out there. So we were very careful. That's another reason why you need a careful, reasoned, credentialed media presence to make sure that things are fairly vetted and that individuals are given a fair shake. But the second I talk to Dr. Dunch on the phone and he goes off, and I wish I'd saved that recording. I told Laura Beale, I got to find that recording. Laura Beale is the one who produced and wrote the Dr. Death podcast. She's like, you got to find that recording. And I'm like, I know, I got to find it. And I couldn't. But what that minute and a half that I had him on the phone was, it was so disturbing. I knew I had a madman on the other end of the line.
You could tell by his voice?
He was jacked up on something.
He was pretty coked up.
Yeah, he was jacked up on something, and he was talking a million miles a minute, and kind of like I am now. And it was just very disturbing, and I felt confident in having that recording and having that conversation and him going off on himself and the narcissistic tone of everything that he was saying. It was, when we got to the point of him talking about him being a god, you're like, yeah,
what?
That is this guy is capable of this. That's who he is. And you knew he was deranged, but at that time I talked to him, he still had his medical credentials to practice in the state of Texas.
Oh,
and so anyway, there's a lot to talk about, but as quickly as I could validate and talk to, get evidence, talk to Dr. Henderson, talk to Dr. Kirby, get evidence, put victims on the air and do it credibly, I did it. And it's just disturbing to me that the Texas Medical Board took so long to shut him down. I am so proud, I'll say this and shut up, of the district attorney, Faith Johnson, for following through and prosecuting this monster.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it had never been done before. Right. And that's what's got to happen. That's in a message.
Well, I think that's an important part of it. I'm just going back to what we were talking about a minute ago. You were willing to stake your reputation on this after doing all the vetting that you needed to. And that's why we need good reporters, because you need people that are willing to stake their reputation on it and not a fucking blogger who is just, going to lose some traffic or gain some because they said something they shouldn't have?
Right. And I don't know how you put the brakes on that except for to wage a campaign to please trust mainstream media and legitimate long-term reporting vehicles like the Morning News. And I look at, and I hate to say this, but I'm going to, I look at the investigative reporting on all the other networked affiliates, local affiliates in Dallas, and I shake my head. I mean, Channel 4 doesn't have an investigative reporter. Channel 11 has one. They have a consumer reporter. Channel 5 has one investigative reporter. They've got a consumer reporter. But there's just such a dearth of individuals who know how to dig and know how to hold people accountable and know how to pursue facts to a conclusion, which is expose this monster, expose him and shut him down, expose the Texas Workers' Comp Commission, which I did, and made them reform the madness that they were doing in Austin. And it's just there's so few reporters who were doing that. God bless the Texas Tribune. I mean, gave them kudos.
We think they're doing great work.
I think they're doing great work. We need about three or four more of those. Yeah. It's anyway.
I didn't realize none of those TV channels had investigative reporters anymore.
They're all going away because it costs too much money.
Yeah, of course it does. That's what I thought when I looked at the price of. I don't want to go back to this again. But looking at the cost of a subscription to the Dallas Morning News, I was like, I had no idea what an investment this was going to be, but 100% worth it.
But it's just
quality
supporting
reporting.
local journalism. People need to understand what an essential cog it is in our local democracy, and people forget about it because information is overwhelming. There's so easy to get information that people think, oh, I don't need to support local reporting. I can get everything else for free on
And you also have a commander in chief that's now saying how terrible media is.
A whole party.
Terrible.
Now, Brett, if it's okay with you, we're going to go in and play everybody's new favorite game, Obsessed. Are you in?
So excited.
All right, great. Obsessed, where every one of us are going to talk about one news story from this week, whether it was politics or it wasn't, that happened, and we're just completely obsessed with it. Lil, we're starting with you.
Rats leaving the ship.
What?
Rats leaving the ship. Republican Party. How can anybody claim that they're part of the Trump Republican Party? With the shutdown, the guy lost his ass. Someone like a John Cornyn. Come on. That guy is so beatable because of the way the Republicans have acted. The fact that they're not turning in their resignations. This Republican Party, represented by the President of the United States, with such disregard for the American public. How can anybody be a Republican with this?
Yeah.
It just makes me sick to my stomach. I grew up in a Republican family. I have Republican friends that I hang out with even today that don't even know how to process where we are. This guy in the White House has an embarrassment and is a part of a Russian plot against the U.S. And everybody knows it. But are they throwing down? Mitch McConnell and John Cornyn, in my opinion, should go to jail.
Hey, I just think this president is obstructing justice daily, but he's doing it on Twitter, and so it's acceptable. And that just blows my mind. I was a prime pickup for Republicans. I'm a white, straight Christian male from rural East Texas, and I could never be a part of that party because they've lost their damn minds.
It's crazy. I mean, just regular people having to say you're a Republican with this guy as president, it's an embarrassment to our country and may be the downfall of our democracy.
Oof.
That's my obsession.
Okay.
Well, sorry, something light.
Laura, please do something to bring it up.
I'm not going to. My obsession is all of the Democrats that are hashtag never whoever, right?
Oh, yeah.
So I am absolutely obsessed with all of these people who immediately, as soon as a candidate announces, or before they do, go online and start a trending hashtag of hashtag never Beto, hashtag never Harris. This is going to be a long, large field of candidates. And, like, what are we doing? Okay, like, the opposition is Donald Trump. It literally doesn't matter who we choose. It doesn't matter. There is no never anyone.
Except for Trump.
I'm pretty much, like, if I wanted to start if somebody started a Never Castro hashtag, it would be me. But I'm not fucking going to. Because if he gets the nomination, I'll knock on doors for him. I'll make phone calls for him. All of us need to. And the attitude of this never Bernie, never Hillary, it doesn't matter. Like, we need to get our shit together as a party because more important things are at stake.
Except for the anyone but Hillary thing worked with the Republicans.
Yeah, right. I mean, that's a good point.
And so that's what happened. They were like, I'm not going to vote for Hillary. I don't like Trump, but I ain't going to vote for Hillary. So at some point, that comes into play.
She's not.
I hear what you're saying, but it comes into play.
Our never Bernie becomes their never Bernie, okay? If we're starting this and giving them all the ammunition they need, that's on us.
That's so true.
If we're having a fair and
transparent
process and we're having debates and they're respectable, then we don't have all these hit pieces that are ammunition for them.
Yeah, we are such a firing squad.
We are our own worst enemy.
When Democrats form a firing squad, they stand in a circle. That's where you were going.
That's where I was going.
I like that.
So here's my obsessed this week.
You didn't go to our guests.
We're going to go to the guests. I'm going around the table.
Okay, just so.
Is that okay with you? Would you like to? Okay, Brett.
No, you go because I'm going to finish, pal.
Okay, so anyways, my obsessed this week, Donald Trump was bragging about San Antonio's border wall lowering the city's crime rate. And then,
what the hell was that?
San Antonio is 150 miles from the border. And then Fox News
started doing... He meant El Paso, right? Like, seriously.
I don't know what the guy
meant. I don't think he meant any specific city.
No, I think he actually did.
I don't think
San Antonio sounds like an ethnic city, so wouldn't you just guess that's on the border?
So, Fox News starts holding border town halls in San Antonio. I mean, this is just outrageous. And so then, here's the part of it I can't let go. There were groups that started planning search parties that were going around San Antonio in search of and trying to find the border wall. And I thought that was just absolutely hilarious. And it's something that I've been obsessed with is San Antonio's border wall.
Which doesn't exist.
Kendall couldn't participate in the search party because he was asked to leave San Antonio for disrespecting the Alamo.
Laura and I once got asked to leave the Alamo.
What were you guys drinking?
Talk about that.
We weren't drinking.
I don't know if we were.
What are y'all saying?
We weren't drinking.
Were y'all reenacting it?
We were trying to take really good pictures in front of it, and apparently our pictures were disrespectful.
Whoa. We may lose some listeners because of that.
Well, you know, teenagers, am I right? Go for it, Brett Chip. What's something you're obsessed with?
Well, I'm going to bring it down, everybody. But my perpetual obsession right now is the lack of accountability at DISD. Ever since I broke the story a few months ago about two whistleblowers who have found waste, fraud, and abuse, found fraud in the procurement department, found bid splitting and sequential bidding going on, and they went to their superiors, went to their bosses and reported it, and they both got fired. Two whistleblowers got fired, two trustworthy, honorable. One of those who got fired was the former special agent in charge of the Dallas division of the IRS, Andrea Whalen. She was in charge of investigating the other whistleblower, Zachariah Manning. She was in charge of investigating his claims, for which he got fired, and she substantiated that, put out a report which exonerated Zach Manning, and she got fired. And so I'm the only reporter in town who's putting all this together, and I'm pushing it out there. And thank God Channel 8 is picking it up. And tomorrow night, Tuesday night, on Channel 8 at 10 o'clock, part two of basically my investigation is going to air on how DISD covered it up. Once I found out about it, DISD started covering it up, wouldn't release the report, wouldn't release emails. So what we have going on, big picture here, is the largest employer in town, the person that we have just, the entity that we have just given a tax increase, $125 million tax increase to, is covering up fraud, waste, and abuse and firing whistleblowers. My head is exploding, and I am just obsessing about that, and I will keep pushing it out there. And again, thank you, WFAA, for picking up this story, understanding it's a story, but shame on every other media entity out there who is not looking into waste, fraud, and abuse at DISD. I'll shut up.
Well, I'll say I feel bad for the people at DISD, because when you see Brett Shipp in your rearview mirror, you've got some day. Problem heading your way.
Especially if you're a trustee and you live outside your district and you answer your door at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Oh my God, you're gonna be the worst nightmare.
Thank you, Jan.
Well, we are so heading to a close here at Pod Bless Texas.
We are so heading to a close here.
I'm not done.
Okay, go for it.
And the bulldog that scares the hell out of every other member of the corrupt here in Texas, Brett Shipp, we can't thank you enough for being here today.
Can I ask one last question?
Absolutely.
I just want to know everybody's take on Beto right now. What's going on with the dude?
We normally have
usually
have a Beto watch.
Are you referring to Beto O'Rourke?
That's how we normally.
That's.
I'm a big bit of.
I can't control where the harps come from. Okay.
According to the morning news today, which I still read the hard copy of, Beto has not made up his mind yet. And then there's all kinds of just weirdness going on with him. And I still have my Beto sticker on the back of my car because I believe that he's going to be something in 2020. But guys, just real quick, roundtable. What's going on with the dude?
I think it's a toss up as to whether or not he runs. I don't think that this funk is just for political purposes or anything like that. I think he's in a funk. He's got two young kids. He just came off. He busted his ass to go to every county in Texas multiple times. I don't think there's any reason to believe that this is just him talking himself up. I think there's a chance that he may not run. Is he looking for like a cabinet position or something like that, some kind of an appointment? I don't know. But I think there's an off chance he doesn't run.
I think he's very authentic, and whatever he does, people need to support. He's authentic, and I'm hoping he runs myself.
I am too.
For what?
For president.
Why not Senate?
I understand there's a Senate race. I just think
he can run for both.
I think he can win the Senate race.
Okay. I think he's got a good shot at being a president.
I disagree with you, Brett.
Okay. No, fine. I think
what you'll see is that the Greg Abbott, John Cornyn Republicans had very different margins than the Ted Cruz and Dan Patrick Republicans. I think that Beto's fight against Cornyn is going to be a very different fight than a fight against Cruz, and I think it's even more difficult.
Oh, I agree.
Where does Beto go with this national profile? He's going to squander it if he doesn't run. He's going to do what Castro did. Frankly, I think that your only place to go is to run for president or find someone that's going to guarantee you a VP spot, which really I think would be more ideal for him. But
go stump for somebody in Iowa.
Yeah.
Get their VP spot.
But that's soon we'll know. February 5th is coming.
Yeah, you won't know that until he runs. I hope he runs. I hope we get as many Democrats as we possibly can and have a really good, productive conversation during the primary.
Yep.
I agree.
Thanks for asking the question, because we were supposed to have a Beto Watch, but Kendall forgot, so thank you, Brett.
Beto Watch isn't every episode, though.
Oh, I thought it was. I thought I demanded that as part of my contract.
Okay, so moving forward, we'll have Beto Watches.
And just real quick, how soon, how much time before?
February 5th.
Okay.
because he's going to be on Oprah.
You think he's going to announce on Oprah?
No, I don't think he's going to announce, but I think you'll get a very good indication of what's going on February 5th when
you
he's on Oprah.
You my question.
All right. And go ahead. Last word.
Well, I was just about to say, I want to talk about what our next poll is going to be for the next episode. And I think that the next poll should be what projects should Brett Shipp investigate?
Oh, that's a good one.
I love that.
I feel like Brett Shipp is holding down the fort for all of journalism right now, to be quite honest. And that's not just me fangirling.
You are 100% fangirling.
I wish I didn't care so much. I cared enough about my country to quit Channel 8 and a high-paying job and one of the best investigative reporting gigs in the country to try to shut down Trump. I'm a very passionate person, and I care about people. And now I'm back to a point where I got to help people in this community, and there's not enough me out there.
Yeah, exactly. There's not enough friendships in the world.
That is the most arrogant thing I have ever heard in my life. But it's accurate.
You need to hang with me more.
Oh, believe me.
I think y'all might butt heads on the arrogance competition.
Kendall.
Okay, so that's awesome. The question. So what projects?
I think a good project would be, I mean, I'm going to just go for the poll, is let's find out a way to take out Dan Patrick.
That's not a story for a nonpartisan reporter. God damn it, Lillian.
No, I'm saying we're going to play a poll.
What are you trying to do here?
I would like to do an investigation into Dan Patrick's prior business dealings.
Yes, or something. We need to take that guy. He's ruining our state.
He's got a couple bankruptcies under his belt now.
Yeah. All right. Just go be every day thing about Dan Patrick.
Okay, so we're going to put a poll up. What do you want Brett Shipp to investigate next?
Social impact bonds.
Okay. BrettShipp.com.
All right.
So we're going to put that up on the website. Head over there to PodBlessTexas.com. It's /episodes and tell us what you think that Brett Shipp should be recording next. We're going to read all of your answers on the next podcast.
Thank you so much, Brett Shipp, for joining us today and taking time out of your day.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Laura Berry, for joining us as our third mic. Will you come back again, Laura?
Absolutely.
Yay!
Didn't ask me to come back.
For Brett.
What's up with that? Okay, I see.
Well, you'll be out there.
Maybe I don't want to come
doing
back.
Doing your investigative journalism, you'll be busy because you're going to get many requests from
our listeners. You're going to get a lot of requests
from our listeners.
Brett, if people wanted to follow you on social media, BrettShipMedia.com, where would they go to be able to follow you, BrettShipMedia.com?
I think BrettShipMedia.com and also on Facebook, BrettShipMedia on Facebook would be a good place to find me. Okay. And
the Twitter machine?
BrettShipMedia on Twitter, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's great. And so let's go down. Lillian, if people wanted to follow you.
I don't care if you do, but if you want to, Lillian_Salerno. And I have an Instagram and a Facebook account that my team was able to get from my campaign team. So that's good.
No one's proud of you for being able to get into your own social media.
Why not? They've never run for office.
Okay. Laura, where the hell can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Laura C. Berry, B-A-R-R-Y. Oh. And pretty soon, probably Ladies for Brett Shipp.
Oh, yeah. This is disgusting. That's so sweet. I'm going to have to escort Brett Shipp out of this house because y'all are going to be just slobbering all over him. And his poor new wife. His poor new wife.
I know, poor Peggy. But don't tell her that this podcast is on because it'll be in trouble.
We need every listener we can.
Promise you won't hear about it.
And if you promise that you want to... wait.
Go ahead.
I promise you won't hear about it. I heard you say that and then I regurgitated it. If you'd like to follow me on social media, you can follow me at Kendall Scudder, KendallSCUDDER. And that's really all I'm at. I'm also on Instagram and on Facebook. Or you can follow us on Pod Bless Texas at Pod Bless Texas. We do our best to try to run that. So good stuff.
Yeah. And thank you again for joining us on Pod Bless Texas. And on behalf of myself, Kendall, and the whole Pod Bless team, have a blessed day.
We'll see y'all next week.
And there's not enough me out there.